This is also a siyum of Masechta Saita. Chazal zogen, our sages tell us that lama nismecha parshas nazir leparshas Saita. Why in this week's parsha is the parsha of nazir close, right next to the parsha which talks about a Saita? Leimelach, it's to tell you shekola reya Saita b'kulkula, that anyone who sees a Saita in her shame, Yazir Atzmei Menayayin, should refrain from drinking wine, or in other words, become a Nazir. Umetzadim Zelben Tam Zainizeh Eich Smuchim Zelazeh in Teresh Volpem. For the same reason, they are also placed next to each other. The two Masechtas which deal with these two matters are next to each other in Mishnayis and Gemara. Masechta Seita Kum Gleichtach Masechta Nazir, that Masechta Seita comes right after Masechta Nazir, the Gemara Zokta Nani Masechta Seita, and as the Gemara points out at the beginning of Masechta Seita, Tana Menazir Salik, the Tana of the Mishnah just finished with Nazir, my Tana the Katana Seita, what is the reason that he immediately starts with Seita? Kederebi, Lama Nismacha Pasha Nazir Pasha Seita, this is to teach us that just like we say it in the Torah, why is the Parsha Nazir near Parsha Saita? Shekolarei Saita b'kulkula Yazir. What we just said, that whoever sees a Saita in her shame should make the decision to stay away from wine. The Rambam abeshrayt. However, the Rambam writes, as Masechta Saita kum gleich nach Masechta Gittin, that Masechta Saita actually comes right after Gittin, not after Nazir. When Nazir kommt farne Gittin, in other words, that Gittin is between Nazir and Saita. Shin yonid mesechta Saita minyan agerushin, because the discussion, what's discussed in mesechta Saita is similar to gerushin, to divorce. Shas Saita kishazon shatizne yeshlokav ish v'ish al agerushin, because of a Saita actually commits adultery, so then you have to separate the husband from the wife, and that's the meaning of divorce, of Gittin. So therefore, Nazir, Gittin, and Saita. So there's a machlokes about whether Gittin is before Saita or after Saita. Und das, was die Gemara sagt, kenal and that, but however, doesn't the Gemara say that Tanim and Nazir Solik, that the Tana just left from Nazir and went straight to Saita? So how does the Rambam explain that? My Tana the Katana Saita, yeah. Shekolarei is Saita, Yazir Asmai. That whole thing, what does it mean to the Rambam if he says that in the middle of it is Gittin? Is as vid Meiri is Masbir. So this is how the Meiri, another commentator, explains. While Gittin v'Saita le'in yazeh echad hei, because in this matter, Gittin and Saita is all considered to be one subject. Shesibis ha-gerishim v'sibis ha-kilkul, because the reason that one would choose to divorce his wife is because something went wrong, you know, with the in the sense of Saita. The nismuchu Gittin v'Saita le'nazir, so therefore Gittin and Saita, which sort of work together, they're seen as one subject, and they are close to Nazir, to teach us shakilkul haba mitzad hayayin gairim legitim v'saita, that which comes, the corruption which comes as a result of over drinking wine, indulging in wine, leads to what the next two mesechtas deal with, which are Gittin and Saita, which, as the Meiri says, are all one subject. And therefore, even though the Rambam holds that Gittin is before Saita, but it still works with what the Gemara said, because Gittin and Saita are of the same subject. Darfen verstehen, so we have to understand. Bibal, das in Teirish v'ksav kommen die zwei Parshas von Saita und Nazir gleich b'chmiss michazel azeh. Since in the Teirish v'ksav and Chumash, Saita and Nazir come immediately following each other. Favazol in Teirish v'alpeh, who the smichas from Masech and Nazir to Gittin and Saita is mitzadim zelben tam the in Teirish v'ksav. Why then is it that in Teirish v'alpeh, where the reason that Saita and Nazir are brought together is for the very same reason that is brought together in Teirish v'ksav, Zayna have six visions, they Masechta Gittin. Why then is there an interruption in the Mishnah between Masechta Nazir and Masechta Seita of Gittin? Why shouldn't they be immediately next to each other, just like they are in Torah Shebikzav? According to the Rambam, also we have to understand what's the explanation of this machloikis? So Saita kum gleich noch Nazir, whether Saita follows Nazir immediately by Rashi, is mefarish as Rashi states it, vi pashtus loshna Gemara, and which is also the simple reading of the Gemara certainly says that Saita comes right after Nazir. Or that it comes after Gittin. What's the reason that the Rambam holds that Gittin is in between Masechta Nazir and Masechta Seita, as the Rambam says, and which needs to already explain the Gemara, that the Gemara means, as the Meiri says, that Nazir and that Seita and Gittin are really one thing, and therefore Nazir is not considered to be a separation between Nazir and Saita, because it's all of the same subject. But that's a little more difficult, so we have to understand what is behind the machloikis between Rashi and the Rambam on this matter. As I know, mefarshim was learning, there are mefarshim that explain, as the Rambam gate like Shittas HaYerushalmi, the Rambam goes in the path of the Yerushalmi, as the Inyan Akinu is totally begerishin, that the Kinui, which means the husband warning his wife that she shouldn't seclude herself with a certain person, that's called kinui, is linked with the divorce, with the matter of divorce, as we'll soon explain. Was the far halter as Masechta Seita kumt noch Gittin, and therefore the Rambam says that Seita comes after Gittin because kinui is an extension, is a flow from Gittin. Kinui, which is linked with, which is of course part of the process of Seita, is connected to Gittin. What does it mean? In Yerushalmi state, in the Gemara Yerushalmi, it says, as the plukta tzishin Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua dort, that the machlokes between Rabbi Lezer and Yeshua, as it's explained over there, tzikinu li'ishta is achayva adar erashus, there's a machlokes over there whether that a husband should warn his wife, so to speak, be on top of this matter with his wife, and to actually explicitly tell her that she shouldn't seclude herself with a specific man, which I guess he has suspicions about. So the machlokes is whether this is an obligation on the husband to do so in order to make sure that things are, you know, on the up and up, or it's an option that he can do. It's not that he's obligated to do it, it's an option that he can do. If he feels the need, then he can do that. So that machloikis is totally in the plukta fun Beishamay and Beshilul, is linked to the machloikis between Beishamay and Beshilul, a Mishnah Seif Gittin, which is at the end of Masechta Gittin. See, Ladas Beishamay, it's dependent on the machloikis and the opinion of Beishamay, Leigarashoda Mesish Teilen Kimotuba Erva's Dover, Erva. A person should not divorce his wife unless he found some licentious behavior. That's the reason, that's the only reason to divorce a wife. Or, as Beis Hillel says, that you don't need such a serious reason in order to divorce a person's wife. Even if it's something as simple as, if she ruined the dinner, or it's obviously an expression. In other words, that there's a machlokes between Beis Shammai whether divorce is only an extension of something very serious that happened in the sanctity of the marriage, or is it for any reason, you know, if you're not getting along? In a fal vos motzeba dvarim keurim uchoarim on edim, so like in the case where a husband found certain behaviors, which, but he doesn't have any witnesses that can actually testify that something actually happened, but he finds things which are suspicious and so on of immoral behavior. Is loit beishamai. So according to Beis Shammai, legarsha eini yochel. Since Beis Shammai says that the only reason you can divorce a wife is if he found some evidence of wrongdoing, of immorality, so here he has no evidence because he doesn't have any witnesses, so he can't divorce her. Shalei motzeba erva, because he didn't find any direct evidence of immoral behavior. L'kayme niyachol, but to keep her, to continue to live with her as husband and wife, he can't do that either. Shematzu b'dvarim ke'urim, because he found things which cause great suspicion, and therefore he's uncomfortable to be married to her. Is a deriba mechuyev in kinui, so therefore, what should he do? So he should warn her about this immoral behavior, that if it happens again, so then there will be a process by which you can deal with it. So that you can go to the next step and to be able to determine whether there was actually immoral behavior, as is the process by a saita. She has to drink the certain liquid and so on. Adanish, or that she can clear her name. You can decide. You can come to a final conclusion whether everything is okay or not. Mashenkin loyd bis Hillel, but according to bis Hillel, as muta legarish a filo oib nor higdichet havshilo. Since bis Hillel says that you don't need any specific reason why you want to get a divorce, is kine beloy is arushus. So therefore, there is no imperative that you must do kinoi, because if you want a divorce, you can divorce her anyway. So what do you need kinoi for? So therefore, it's an option if you want, but it's not really necessary in any way. By Lahodzi, the braid, it's a get maget. He has the option to give a get anyway, so there is no reason that he has to do it. So that's why the machlekes between Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua, whether it's an obligation to give kinui, which of course means in a certain situation, or whether it's optional, is dependent whether you hold like Beis Shammai that you can't give a divorce only if there is a specific evidence of wrongdoing, or you hold like Beis Hillel that you can give a divorce in any case. So therefore, according to Beis Hillel, there would be no need to do kinui, and then it's only an option. Tosfos brings the Yerushalmi umfrekt. So Tosfos quotes the Yerushalmi and asks the question. Lefi Yerushalmi, according to Yerushalmi, kibben the talya kinui begerushin. Since the reason for kinui is dependent on what is your opinion of divorce, havelo lemisna saita basagitin. Then Saita should be follow Gittin, since Saita flows forth from Gittin. It's the reason why you should either do a kinui or not, or you have the option, or it's your obligation. So therefore, it should follow Gittin. Zogem Farshim and also the commentators say, as Loit Nirushalmi is Taka Azoi, as Saita kumt noch Gittin. So they explain that Tosfos asks the question, why doesn't Saita follow Gittin? But they say that according to the Yerushalmi, it is indeed so. In fact, it is so, that Saita comes after Gittin, which fits perfectly with the Yerushalmi. And the Rambam learned the Yerushalmi, and that the Rambam also agrees with this approach of the Yerushalmi, and therefore he holds also that Saita comes after Gittin. Masechta Saita comes after Masechta Gittin. Of the teretz is shver, but this answer is difficult. Why? V'baldas the Bavli is nish toiladim inyan akina begerushin. Since in the Bavli, in Talmud Bavli, which we go by, there is no link between kinui and gerushin. In other words, it's not dependent on that, since you have no option to give a get unless you do kinui in that circumstance, and therefore that becomes a chayva. That doesn't really work. That's not according to the Bavli. It isn't so. This is euch muchach von dem, was in Bavli bringt sich dieselbe plukte zu kinitze is chayva der shus. As we find that in the Bavli, there's the same achleikas, whether kinui is something that you must do or something that is optional. Nor the chilukim zayin Rabbi Kiva. But there's different rabbis which give the different opinions. The one that says, Rabbi Kiva says chayva, that you must give a kinui, and Rabbi Shmuel reshus. Rabbi Shmuel says that it's optional. Whereas in the Yerushalmi it was Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua. When Rabbi Kiva halta chaz memegmeg arazayna isha afilu matza acheres noa imena. But at the same time, the same Rabbi Kiva that says it's an obligation to give kinui, he holds that when it comes to gerushin, to divorce, you can give a divorce for any reason at all. So therefore, there doesn't seem to be a link between, as we explained in the Yerushalmi, that because you have no option to give a divorce unless you have evidence, so therefore you must give kinui so that you can have your evidence. Rabbi Akiva doesn't have that problem. He says you can divorce your wife in any case. So why does he say that it's an obligation to divorce, to give kinui? Kumtois, as l'shitas ha-Bavli, so it comes out that according to the Bavli, is mesechta seitan nishta hamshach tzu gittin. So then it comes out that according to the Bavli, there is no connection between gittin and seita, as we see, that Rabbi Akiva, the one who says that kinui is an obligation, is the one that says that gittin is your, it's up to you, can do whatever you want. So therefore, there is no link between gittin and seita. B'meilas, sechta seita kumbi pashtas loshna shas, gleichnach mesechta nazir. And therefore, mesechta nazir is seita, which comes, according to the simple reading of the Gemara, which stated clearly that the Tana finished with Nazir and went on to Saita. In other words, that Saita comes right after Nazir. So how are you going to say that the Rambam goes in the path of the Yerushalmi against the path of the Bavli? The Bavli seems to unlink those two matters. So you can say that the Rambam, where we follow the Bavli, is following the Yerushalmi. The halacha is always like the Bavli. Nochmer, even more so. If the Rambam nenton v'shitas Yerushalmi, if the Rambam accepts the opinion of the Yerushalmi as chavis a kinui is tolu begedushin, that when you say that you have to give kinui, according to the opinion that says you have to give kinui, it's because you're unable to give a get. That's the only way that you were able to be determine the truth and therefore be able to give a get. V'paskenter v'Rabbi Akiva as kinui as a chayva. So then how does the Rambam come to the conclusion that kinui is a chayva, is an obligation? That's how the Rambam paskens, which follows Rabbi Akiva in the Yerushalmi. But vasleit Yerushalmi analysis v'hesem tzareb shidus b'shamay, which according to the Yerushalmi, which the Rambam follows, that means that it's linked to the opinion of the Beis Shammai. In Bavli, that's the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, and the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva. Whenever there's a machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and his colleagues, the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva. But if from the Yerushalmi, it's linked to the opinion of Beis Shammai, who says that you can't give a divorce unless you have evidence, so is the Rambam now paskening like Beis Shammai? Which again, the halacha is always like Rabbi Hillel in the presence of Beis Shammai, where there's a machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So the Rambam ends up paskening both like the Yerushalmi, which is not the norm for paskening like the Yerushalmi, and he paskens like the Yerushalmi, and he paskens like Beis Shammai, which is also not the norm. So how does that work with the Rambam? Gimel, vet me das verstehen, behagdim abir in the psakanal von Rambam, askini is achayva. Kedas Rabbi Akiva. So we'll understand this by first explaining what the Rambam says. He paskens that kinui is an obligation, as Rabbi Akiva, because in the Bavli it's Rabbi Akiva. L'chayra, because the question should be asked. The Gemara is medayik v'loshna mishna b'saita. The Gemara focuses on what the Mishnah says in Saita Makane Le'ishtoi, that if somebody does kinui to his wife, the Eved in L'chatchila Loi. The wording in the Mishnah says, if someone gave kinui to his wife, Hamakane Le'ishtoi means someone who did so. So the Gemara focuses on the word someone who did so and says, it seems from the Mishnah that it's only if you did so, but not that you should do so. If the Mishnah felt that you should do so, it would have said, Yikana Adam Le'ishtoi, or whatever, something like that. He should do so. So therefore the Gemara concludes from this, that Kasaber Tana Didan also Lekanis, that it comes out, it's obvious from our Mishnah that the Tana holds that one should not do kinui. It's only if you did so. Vibal das leit stam Mishnah is also lekanis, and since there is no machlekes in that Mishnah is just stated as a final rule. Is and the conclusion is that you're not allowed to do kinui. If Habas paskin to be Rabbi Kiva, so why does the Rambam paskin like Rabbi Kiva when the Stam Mishnah says that you shouldn't do kinui and Rabbi Kiva says you should, the Rambam paskins you should. And the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, although normally it's true that we paskin like Rabbi Kiva, but since Rabbi Kiva is only quoted on this matter in a braisa, not in the Mishnah, the klal is doch, and the rule is, as stam the masnisin machlekes bebraisa halacha kistam. If the Mishnah states a halacha without any dispute, and in the braisa we find that there is a dispute on the matter. But since the Mishnah states it as a final ruling without any dissenting opinion, so therefore we rule according to the Mishnah. So Rabbi Kiva argues on this matter in a braisa. Normally we talk a paskan like Rabbi Kiva, but since there is a Stam Mishnah, a Mishnah which is unanimous, let's call it, and therefore the halacha is like the Stam Mishnah, so then why does the Rambam paskan like Rabbi Kiva, which is found in a braisa? The Tosis Yontav Emfert. So the Tosis Yontav answers that the Baal das Sai Rabbi Kiva and Sai Rabbi Shmuel in the Braisa halten as Labi Surahu. Since both Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel, they argue about whether you have to or it's optional, but nobody says that you're not allowed to. Neither of them says that it's asur lekanes, that it's prohibited to do it. Hilkach les halachik masnisin. Therefore, we don't paskin in this case like the Mishnah, ubana leklal, because there's two opinions which go against the Mishnah in this case, because the Mishnah says you're not allowed to, and they both hold that you're allowed to. They only argue if it's an option or an obligation. So both of those opinions go against the Mishnah. So therefore, we now do not say anymore that the halacha is like the Mishnah, because both opinions go against the Mishnah. So then we go back, we fall back to Bono Laklal, Allah Rabbi Kiva Machaveri. We have to go back to the Allah is always like Rabbi Kiva when he argues with his colleague, and therefore between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel, the Allah is like Rabbi Kiva. And we reject, the Rambam rejects the Mishnah, the Stam Mishnah, because that's that goes against both opinions in the Braisa. So therefore he paskins like Rabbi Kiva. That's how the Tosis Yom Tov answers this dilemma. The teretz is of a light. The day is not of an early light. The day is as a lachik stam mishnah legabe abraisa gate nishtan and afal vudis stam mishnah is a das yachid. But this answer can only work according to those opinions that say that when do we say halachik stam mishnah when it conflicts with abraisa. That we say this only when the stam mishnah is. Does not apply. Let's do it again. But this answer can only work according to the opinion that says that when do we say halachik istam mishnah in when it comes into conflict with a braisa? It only if the stam mishnah is not a lone opinion which goes against multiple opinions in the braisa. So, like in our case, but it wouldn't apply in our case because the Mishnah goes against the Mishnah's alone opinion, which goes against the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva both, and therefore in this case we don't rule like the Stam Mishnah. So, according to that opinion, this would be a good answer, the answer that the Tosis Yontav gives. Of a late today is, but there's other opinions which disagree, and they say, as Oichen Afal in Azafal is Allah Gestam Mishnah. They say that even if the Stam Mishnah is a lone opinion and it goes against many opinions in the Braisa, but since in the end Rebbe gave the final say to the Mishnah, the Stam Mishnah, so therefore it means that he held that that was the Halacha, and therefore we still go according to the Stam Mishnah. So therefore the Tosis Yom Tov's answer falls away, because according to those opinions his answer doesn't follow. And therefore the question comes back. Why does Rabbi Kiva, why is the Rambam paskin like Rabbi Kiva when it goes against the Stam Mishnah? The Eshleimer, so we can answer this as Ladas, a Rambam is nishtokhein drayin dike machlegis be'inin akinui. That according to the Rambam, there is no three-way machlegis on this matter. What we have seen until now, it seems that there's a three-way machlekes. One opinion is, the Stam Mishnah is, that it's prohibited to do kinoy. Rabbi Kiva, then there's two opinions between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel, whether you're permitted to or you have to. That's three-way machlegas. But the Rambam doesn't accept that. Also, Rishus HaDechayva, whether it's prohibited, permitted, or obligatory. But Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva, the Braisa, Zayin Anish Mechulek Mitintana, from the Mishnah, as also Lekanas, because according to the Rambam, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva are not arguing with the Tana of our Mishnah on the matter of Asa Lekanas, that is prohibited to do kinui. We'll see soon about why it's not a machlekes, but first there's a little bit of an aside. Visi is muchach from them, and this can be seen clearly from the fact, was the Gemara bringt nicht de Breise gleich noch mit daig sein as gesobe tanen dan Asa Lekanas. Right after what the Gemara says, that the opinion of our Tana is that you're not allowed to do kinui, the Gemara doesn't say right away, as al derech the Gemara bring benegei the days from Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Shua in the Mishnah, similar to what the Gemara said in regards to the opinions of Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Shua in our Mishnah, as mekanalal pishnayim, on the question of whether there needs to be two edus for the kinui, as masnisin deleika etana Rabbi Yosef ben Rabbi Yehuda, that this Mishnah obviously disagrees with Rabbi Yosef ben Rabbi Yehuda. Mekan al pi edechad al pi atzmai, who says that you can be do kinui either in front of one witness or even with no witnesses, and the kinui would be valid. So that's the Gemara immediately, whenever the Gemara says that a Mishnah must be of the opinion of a certain way, will introduce the fact that, oh, but there's another Tana that says completely differently. Obviously, this Mishnah doesn't agree with that Tana. But in this case, the Mishnah doesn't say that. Und bringt es in Shafil Bekeshu zu der Deye von Tane Didana, Zasa Lekanis, and doesn't say in regards to the fact that our Tana says that you're not allowed to do Kinui. Yet we find that Rabbi Yishmol and Rabbi Kiva argue about the fact whether you're permitted to or whether you're obligated to. So obviously they don't agree with our Tana. The Mishnah doesn't say anything like that, which is very common for the Gemara doesn't say anything like that, which is very common for the Gemara to point out that when there's a Mishnah that you conclude that a certain thing about that Mishnah points out that there are other opinions which disagree. But in our case, for some reason, the Gemara doesn't point out that there is Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shmuel, who seem to have a different opinion. Obviously, it's because that they don't have a different opinion. They don't disagree with our Mishnah. So to understand why there is no machlokes really between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva on the one hand and our Tana on the other hand, the Braisa Verd gebracht in Gemara blaz v'ayichocha. This Braisa is quoted in our Gemara only as a proof. As does was Tana de Rabbi Shmuel zokt, ein adam kan li ishte elim ki nichnas bei ruach. Rabbi Shmuel said that a person doesn't commit du kinui to his wife unless he is overcome by a spirit. The question is, what kind of a spirit? Meintas vida deye from the manda omer ruach tara. So the question is, does it mean like the opinion of the one that says a spirit of holiness, of purity? So the Gemara brings it as a proof that since Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva argue about whether it's obligatory or permitted or an option to do kinui, so the Gemara wants to say this proves that they hold that it must be a spirit of purity, because if you're going to say that a person doesn't commit kinui unless he is overcome by a spirit of unpleasantness, impurity, and what is he doing to his wife? So then there's going to be a machlekes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel if it's obligatory to go into a spirit of unholiness or only permitted to go into a spirit of unholiness. Certainly not. So the Gemara wants to prove from here that there is only that it must go according to the opinion that a person doesn't do kinyan unless he is overcome by a spirit of holiness, of purity. And that's why Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel argue whether it's an obligation or it's only optional. That's the only reason that the Gemara here quotes the machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel, but it doesn't try to deduce from this that there's a machlokes between the Tana of the Mishnah in Masechta Seita and the Braisa, the opinions of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. It's a different issue which the Gemara brings in the Braisa of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. Nor the Mishnah of Braisa Redden Vegan Tzvepa Shidun Afal. So now we get to the answer of why there's no machlekes between our Tana and the Braisa of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. Because they're talking about two different situations. There are two different situations which could lead to the issue of Kinnud. In Kinnud Zainifaran Tzvepa, because there are two matters in relation to Kinnud. Number one, a Kinnud was a Benegele Isha built its Nuah. There it could be a situation which we're dealing with a woman that is behaving in an immoral way. She's immodest and behaves in a way that leads the husband to issue a warning. And therefore the kinui is like sort of, if she secludes herself after that, then it was preceded by a kinui, it leads further down the path of Saita. In a situation, as the Yerushalmi calls it, he found certain things which were suspicious. And he suspects that his wife is involved in an immoral act. So therefore, he decides to issue the warning. So that he can determine. Of course, in the case where she won't listen to this warning, and she will seclude herself again, it then will allow him to be able to determine whether there was an immoral act or not. That's one situation, scenario of kinui. Another scenario is a kinui mitigates an ishuk sheira, talking about a kinui to a woman who is behaving properly and everything is fine. The Rambam zogt, as the Rambam says, as kinui dav zayin benachas bederech tara v'azora, as the Rambam says that kinui should be done calmly, in a way of purity and azora kedei lahadricho lahasar amichshel. It is done ahead of anything going wrong. It's done before anything goes wrong. A husband and a wife sit down to discuss. There are things which a woman should do and a woman shouldn't do, a man should do, a man maybe, you know, there are things, modes of behavior that should be followed, and that's the spirit of the discussion. There is no anger, there is no accusations, it's just a discussion of what is the right way to maintain a married lifestyle. The chol misha ein makved al ishu banav bnei beisai. In fact, the Rambam says, and anyone that is not going through these steps, he's not taking care of business ahead of when a problem can arise. Umazhiran, and he doesn't warn them and guide them, pegedarchem tamid, and make sure that they are following a righteous path all the time. Hareizachaita, that husband is a sinner. Why is he not, educating and directing and telling his family what the right way is? It's his responsibility. So that's a different approach to kinui. Was von dem is mochach, from this we see, as chavis a kinui is nish verbunden mit dem, was der Baal is cheshed ishtoi in advar aveire. So when we talk about the obligation for kinui, we're not talking about a husband that suspects his wife. Oder gizem ba'ir dvarim ke'urim ke'ezeb, or that he already saw certain inappropriate behaviors. Nor as is a prat from them in your klali from adrachas aisha. It's just a matter of maintaining a pure home life so that everybody does what they need to do and they behave and to begin with in an appropriate way. Punkt wie es darf madrig sein und mag wie sein auf Hanhoges Bonova b'nei beis b'chlal, just as he has to be looking after the behavior of his family, of his children, and so on. And it's not because he thinks his child are bad kids that he guides them and educates them. It's because you need to educate and guide. That's what he does. So the kinui in this case is not because he already saw something suspicious, but to the contrary, it's to avoid getting into situations which are inappropriate. And that's why it's considered a chayva, an obligation on the husband. Because the far is mitzvah chachamim abnei Yisrael l'nekanes l'neshayim. That's why, as the Rambam says, it's a command. It's sort of a guidance from the chachamim, from our sages, that a person should bring these things up with his wife. B'chlal tziyed ishun al tanhoga tmidis. It applies to every wife, and it's a constant thing. From time to time, you have a discussion and so on. But he says, of course, you shouldn't overdo this either. When you overdo it, then you're sort of introducing a negative feeling to it. It shouldn't be done in a joking way. And it's not to scare her, to create a dominant feeling of himself over her. And it's also inappropriate to do this in front of witnesses immediately. In other words, if there's no reason to suspect anything, or if everything is going relatively fine, why bring in other people? If you have no choice and you get to a situation where things go out of control, then you want to bring witnesses. But at the beginning, the general sense of kinui is not in front of other people. It's just a discussion between husband and wife. So these are the two different the different issues, different scenarios of kinui. And das ist der Chilek zwischen der Mishnah und der Braise. And that is how the Rambam sees the difference between the Mishnah and the Braise. In Mishnah, wo er sagt, amakane dieved, the Mishnah, which is talking about if someone said kinui, did kinui to his wife, in other words, seeing it as something that he did, he shouldn't have done, but he ended up doing it. It's talking about the first scenario, where you have a woman who already is behaving in a way that is inappropriate, which leads the husband to have no choice but to do kinui. But is the hagdomet sestira, which, because it's now leading in the direction of if she secludes herself again, then there will be the ongoing process. On in dem hal the Rambam as l'shidus ha-Bavli is also l'kanis, and it's in regards to this that the Rambam holds that the Bavli says that you're not allowed to do that. This is an inappropriate thing. It should never get to that, as we'll explain in further on. Mashenke the machleikis in Braise, but when we talk about the machleikis in the Braise between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Kiva, tzikinu is a chayva the reshus, where they have the machlekes whether it's an obligation or it's only optional. In other words, that certainly it's not a negative thing. They're talking about a completely different scenario. They're talking about where normal, regular behavior. It's talking about preventative type of discussion. And so on. Lahadricha, in order to guide the family. Rabbi Shmuel, how does the ganze inyan akinu is ba'anishik sheira is blois rishus? Rabbi Shmuel says that when you're talking about a regular, good, kosher woman that behaves properly, so there's no obligation for a husband to bring up anything like that. If he feels that he wants to, then he could. This is achidush v'nesinus heter. It's only that you're permitted to do it if you're so taken. Klapi sha'omra teira leisisus achicha b'lvavecha. What is the reason that you need a heter to do this? Because the Torah says that a person should not hate their brother in their heart. Zok Torah as in dem fal. So in other words, something like this could lead to a negative feeling. So therefore the Torah says that in this case, chodsh tekinu can bring it to tagar v'sina, even though bringing up a matter like this could of course lead to negative feelings. Megzayin de anhogaf v'kinu yisishtosh, Rabbi Shmuel says, what the Torah is saying is, you're permitted to do it, even though it has the possibility to be able to bring up a negative feeling. Don't consider this as violating lesisna zachicha to create hate between a husband and a wife. it's permitted to do it. It's important to set guidelines of how family life should go. And Rabbi Kiva held, whereas Rabbi Kiva holds totally differently, as the kinevas kum ladricha is a chayva, that it's an obligation for a husband to set guidelines for his family. When Azay paskin the Rambam, and this is what the Rambam is saying, vasaret doch vegna aza oifen in kinui, because he's talking in that scenario of kinui. This is muchach from zayin loshin kanal sevdalet, as we can see from his wording that we quoted before, that it's an obligation and that he should guide and it's and so on. So we see that he's talking about preventative discussion, not when everything is out of control already. When Azoy pass, the Ashleimar, as the Tzivu, Tzvei, Eifani Kinui, Zaini Merumas in Pasuk, and one could say that these two different types of Kinui, very different types of Kinui, are actually alluded to in the Pasuk. It says in the Pasuk, Va'over Olav Ruach Kina, and a person will be overcome by a spirit of, I don't know, jealousy, or kina over here doesn't mean jealousy, it means righteousness or righteous indignation maybe. The kina yasishtei, and he will warn his wife. The he nitma, and she, it'll turn out that she did behave immorally. Oy, the pasuk gives another option is, over all of ruach kina, he was overcome by the spirit of righteousness. V'kinei asishtein, he warned his wife. V'hi lo nitma, but it turns out that she wasn't immoral. So the adichas in keifel aloshen, this very wordy pasuk, and actually repeating the whole thing again, just by adding the word lo nitma, either she did or she didn't, is merames. So what it's trying to allude to, as dar retzich vegen tzvei fashidin suginoshim, the pasuk seems to be alluding, could be said to be alluding to two different types of situations with the woman. The kinyas ishavinitma, one option is that he warned his wife and she was immoral. The kinyas and ishavas matzabadvarim kurim, this is talking about the warning that has to be given to a woman who is already behaving in a certain sense immoral. Immorally, but there is no evidence, and so on. We don't know that actually anything happened. In other words, that it's likely that there was something inappropriate. Or there's another option. He will give the warning to his wife, and there was no immorality. The kinui is an ishak sheda ladricha, that we're talking about a woman who is a perfectly fine woman, and the discussion is only about preventative behaviors so that things don't lead to inappropriate behavior. So the pasuk itself seems to be alluding to these two different scenarios about why one would do kinui. In other words, the pasuk seems to be supporting this chiddush that the Rebbe brings in, that there are two different, completely different types of kinui. Favoz al zayna isu lekanes li isha vosmotzav advarim ke'urim ke'yetzabay. Now we go back to what we discussed before, that in the Yerushalmi, where it's in our Mishnah, where it says that also with the Tana holds that also lekanes is ishtay, that you're not allowed to do that. It's talking about a woman that is already behaving in an immoral way. And so the question is, why would it be prohibited to warn a person that is already behaving in a way like that? L'cheira adarav, it would seem to the contrary. In azafal, daf menzicha mekana zayin lishtay, in such a case, for sure you have to take steps to correct the situation. Chodshas kem brengen l'dei tagar, although it's true that it could lead to some conflict, but you still have to do it so that you can prevent, at least in the future, that there shouldn't be an aveira. And also that if you do kinui, which, and then there is another stira, she secluded herself again, then you can go to do the process of the water so that you can determine whether there was an aveira or not. So why would the Mishnah say that also lekanes, that is prohibited to do that? Yeshleimer, so we can answer as Lashitas, a Rambam is the Tam, Pavos also Lakanis, Nishvirashi Zogt, Vilebrengt, Lide Tagor. So therefore, we could say that the reason that the Rambam holds that you're not allowed to do Kinui, as the Mishnah says, is not as Rashi says, because it could lead to conflict. That's the reason that Rashi gives why you're not allowed to do Kinui, according to the Mishnah. The Rambam has a different reason. The Rambam's reason is because in the case where already things are going in a negative way, is the achshashas d'mayim vel saibin ir nishbeidig zayin. Look at Lakama. Because now we're left in a situation where, if we're talking about such a situation, where there is already immoral behavior, so we're afraid that the water, going through the water, drinking the water process, which is supposed to determine whether she's guilty or not, is not going to work. As we'll soon explain. The din is, as Bizman She'ish, as he explains right now, the din is, as Bizman She'ish menukim of in a mayim beit kines ishtei. The halacha is that if the husband is innocent in his own life of such behavior, then the water works to sort of clarify whether the woman, to determine whether the woman was guilty or not. But if the husband is also not guilty of such behavior, then the water doesn't work for his wife either. How does the Rambam explain that the husband is guilty, is not innocent? It means that any time in his past, from when he became an adult, when he became 13 years old, if any time in his past he had an inappropriate relationship, so that's called that he's guilty. Afila oven the pnuya, even if he was with an unmarried woman, where there was no not the serious crime of being with a married woman and so on. So that's what he calls not innocent. Any kind of relationship with a woman that was prohibited. And then according to what the Gemara says, that anyone who behaves in such a way, if he is behaving in such a way, then of course his wife is going to behave that way too. Or it's likely reasonable to expect that his wife will behave that way too. The Amir Inshe, because people say, that he finds himself among the pumpkins and she finds herself amongst the squash, whatever the two different types of things. In other words, they're doing the same thing, only this one is in this patch and that one is in that patch. Rashi explains, they're both two the same type, only this is a larger size and these are smaller sizes. Kloimer, b'meshu oisik hi asuka. In other words, whatever he's doing, she's doing the same thing, just in another place. In other words, that if you see that if a husband behaves that way, then it's a good chance that the wife will behave that way too. Kumtoi, so it comes out as Vendi, Anhagasa Isha Shleiki de Boi, that if we see that a woman is behaving in an inappropriate way, is da agresich shash, Azoich Anhagasa Baal is given Shleiki de Boi. There's a good reason to believe that the husband also behaved in such a way, which will of course lead to the fact that the waters will not do their job. They don't work if the husband is guilty. So therefore Zok Tane Didan, therefore the Rambam explains that it's for this reason that the Tane in our Mishnah in Masechta Seita says, as in Azafal Osa Lekanes, that in the case where you're already finding immoral behavior on the part of the woman, and that you're trying to head off worse behavior, it's not a good idea. It's prohibited to do kinui in this case. Why? Because we're worried that the water will not be work to check and determine the guilt or innocence of the wife. Und durch maschke sein ishtei, that arizkum veloshna ramam pesha shagorim l'shemam furushi yemocha. That, so when you go through the whole process and you scrape the Megillah, the written parchment, which has Hashem's name, and you have to scrape it into the water. So you've erased Hashem's name, which is a serious violation. Of course, in this case, it has to be done. But if it's not going to work anyway, so now you've erased Hashem's name, and it was a dud, so to speak. And it also causes the woman to say, it doesn't work anyway. The Meisaita doesn't work because she drank it. She knows she's guilty, and nothing happened. So therefore, in her mind, the Meisaita doesn't work, even though the Torah says that it'll work in a certain way, and it didn't work. She doesn't know that her husband was also guilty of the same thing, and that's why it didn't work. Notice says Besim Megadar Zayin, and therefore the Tana says, in order to avoid this kind of a situation, so it's better that rather than go into such a situation which will cause this kind of misrepresentation of the Meisaita and so on, so it's better to just give a divorce. You're already dealing with an immoral situation. It's better to just give a divorce. That's why the Tana says, Asa l'kanes. Rashi says that the reason is because you don't want to get into a conflict with your wife. The Rambam says, no, it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with you don't want to ruin the reputation of the Meisaita. You don't want to erase Hashem's name for no reason. It's not going to work anyway, and so on. According to this, now we can understand why the Rambam holds that Masechta Seita comes after Gittin, not directly after Nozir. Since, according to the way the Rambam sees it, the Mishnah at the beginning of Seita, which talks about Kinui, is talking about a woman who is already on the wrong path. As he explained, that's why it's prohibited to, that's why the Tana there holds that it's prohibited to do Kinui. Is Mistabat Sazogni, it's logical to say, as their Pirush in dem Tamam Smichus for Nozir, Shekola Raya Saita Bekukula, that so therefore it's reasonable to say that the reason that Nozir is close to Saita, because if somebody sees a Saita in her corruption, is Nish Mekipirush Rashi Benevulo Bushta Bishasa, is not as we interpreted before, which comes from Rashi, that if he sees a Saita in her shame, that's not what it means. Be the pashas aloshin, as the simple meaning of it is the kilkul for nafseite hachetas. Zi is mekalkil un oiver an aveira. But rather, what it means here, kilkula, means her corruption. We know already that this is, we're talking about a woman that is corrupt. Other ir einish tzav sabitna, or alternative explanation of kilkula means you see her in going through the punishment that she goes as. Is known that if she drinks the water, then her body falls apart, basically, and she dies. So that's either the kilkula means, Rashi says it means her shame and her embarrassment going through the whole process is a very embarrassing thing. But the Rambam holds that no, and kilkula means he sees her going through this corruption and this punishment, even death. Vibald as the ganze kilkul von asaita chetaz v'zman hazeh, is das was yeshlok of a ish the isha ala gerishin, and since in today's day and age where there is no meisaita, there's no beis hamikdash, so this can't be done. So then, what does it lead to? It just means that a husband has to divorce his wife. You have to force the husband to divorce his wife, because if she was immoral and she was unfaithful, then he's not allowed to be married to her anymore. Learn the Rambam as mesechta seita kum nach gittin. Therefore, the Rambam holds that Masechta Saita comes immediately following Gittin Vibald, as Be'inin HaKilkul Ein is Echad Mem Kenal Sif Aleph. Because, as the Rambam said, that Saita and Gittin are really one and the same. They're linked to each other in such a way that they become one Masechta. They're not one Masechta, but they're together. The inevitable result of kilkula means divorce in our day and age, because the Rambam holds that we're talking already about a woman that is already behaving immorally. So therefore, what's it going to lead to? It can lead to kilkul, which means to divorce, and therefore the Saita and Gittin come together as a natural flow from Nozir goes to Gittin and Saita together, because they're really the same thing. The Kilkul of a Nozir, of a Saita today is Gittin. And their Inyan, as the Mishnah Betchil Vascholos Saita Red Vegna Saita Chetas, and this, that the first Mishnah of Saita is talking about a Saita which is already involved in sin, is Oich Behesem to say that Aksubim Parsha Saita Betchil Beksav actually fits with the way the Psukim in Parsha Nosei are ordered. Ascholos a Parsha is. The beginning of the parsha is Ish Kisish Kisisti Ishtay Mola Beimal B'Shochav Ish Eisa, a man who his wife will be immoral or unfaithful, and she will be with another man, and she will be secluded, and she became defiled. She was unfaithful. When Eshdenoch Retzich Ve'Nasafik Ba'Aver Olav Ruach Kina. Then, after saying that she was unfaithful, then it comes to, and then he will be overcome with a spirit of righteousness. Bekina Sishtein, he will warn his wife. Initman, she was unfaithful, or she wasn't unfaithful, as the pasuk gives the two options. On in dem euch in gufa, and even in those two options, whether she is guilty or not guilty. You would think that he should say she's not guilty first. Why not start with the positive? No, the Torah starts with the negative. She was guilty, and then gives another option. Or maybe she wasn't guilty. And the reason why the Torah starts with, first he lays down that she was guilty. And then he will warn her. And she either was guilty or she wasn't guilty. So the Torah keeps going in the direction of she's guilty. Or maybe she's not guilty. Twice she is guilty and then maybe she's not guilty. The reason is because it's talking in a case where it's talking the type of kinui which is for a behavior which is already calling into question the morals of this woman. Masha'ein, that's how Rambam sees it. Masha'ein can Rashi get b'cholan al shitose, with Rashi goes according to his opinion in all this. I learned as the Mishnah read wegen kinui stam. He says that our Mishnah is talking about the regular type of kinui. Oich zu anishu bas hat nish gizen by ir ken dvarim kuurim ki yitzabay. Even the type of kinui that is said to a woman who is behaving perfectly fine. It's just that it's a normal guidance that a husband should give. Number one, a learned as Saita acha Nozir. Therefore, he holds that Saita comes right after Nozir, not after Gittin, because it's not involving Gittin. We're not there yet. V'alas cholos v'sechta Saita hot nishkan sheichos v'sechta Gittin. As I said, because it's not connected to Gittin yet. And number two, shekol arayu Saita b'kulkula is a mefarish b'nivula b'bashta. Rashi doesn't see Kilkula as in her corruption. He says Kilkula means in the embarrassment that she's going through because of this whole thing, which she could be perfectly innocent, and it's still a great embarrassment. Number three, the Isilakanis is vile, maybe Atzmal de Tagar Vesishtail de Nivul, Bafili Toira. And as Rashi says, the reason that the Tana holds that you're not allowed to do this is because it causes conflict between the husband and the wife. And then it could lead to his wife being embarrassed and so on, degraded because of the whole process of the Saita. And all of this time she was innocent. So Rashi goes with the approach that it's talking about an innocent woman, and yet it's prohibited. So it's a very different scenario. And that's why there's no Gittin in between, because Gittin, we're not there at all yet. We're talking about normal families and so on, and even in that situation Rashi says it's not a good idea to do so because you cause conflict. Al pi shitas Rambam. Now according to the opinion of the Rambam, as the Ascholos and Masechta Red Vegen Saita Chitas, that the beginning of this Masechta is talking about a Saita who was already suspected of being guilty. Vet menoich vashtein de shaychas mit hatcholos Masechta zu ir siyum. Now we can understand that the connection between the beginning of the Masechta and the end of the Masechta, which the Rebbe always likes to do, connect the beginning to the end. What is the end of the Masechta Saita? You shouldn't say that they were saying that when so-and-so died, when this and this tzaddik died, this Tana died, God-fearing people ended. So one of the Tanoim said, don't say the fear of sin, because I'm still here. In other words, he's a person of fear sin. The message here of this, the end of the Masechta, is the mitl to Messiah Zay Masechta Saita, the method by which to conclude, to finish off with the whole issue of Saita, that you shouldn't run into this problem, is only Zayin Saita Chetaz, that you shouldn't have a problem with a Saita that is immoral and so on. Is only Shdafa Mekayim Zay Mepeil Hilcha Saita, so that you never have to actually go through the whole Masechta Saita, in other words, do the things that are listed there. How do you get to that? Is durch dem vos, leisisni yirascheid ikano, that you should not dismiss yirascheid because I am still here. Meaning to say, b'shasayid learn Masechta Saita. When is Messiah b'chaisim, when he learns Masechta Saita and he concludes the Masechta by learning, leisisni yirascheid ikano, that you shouldn't say that yirascheid is over, because I am still here, a kumtzu to the darga of Yerushchet. In other words, that he is applying this to himself. I have to be the God-fearing person. That takes away the whole possibility. It will never get to the situation of Saita, because the husband will behave in an appropriate way. He knows that he has to be Yerushchet. That's the way to do away with the problem of Saita. And now the connection in the beginning to the Masechta can also be understood according to Rashi. As the kinush of Ascholos Masechta is oich to an ishik sheira, the Rashi holds that the Masechta is talking, the beginning of the Masechta is talking still about a woman that is not a sinner. It's talking about a good and fine woman. Well, derech ze distir vashko was steht in noch im mishne is nicht mudgash as retzach wenn a soita chetaz nor afilu itair, and that Rashi even says that even if it gets to the situation where the woman has to go through the whole process of soita and even drink the water and so on, it's still possible that she's innocent. In other words, Rashi is going with the approach, this woman could be innocent. Light, so how does that connect to the beginning? Light the pirush ha'yidua in yiras chet as mahat meira nishfar an einish yiras einish was the chet bringt. According to the interpretation, that what does yiras chet mean? You're afraid of the sin, not afraid of the punishment that comes from the sin, but you're afraid of the sin nor from the chet gufa. A person is afraid to commit a sin, not because he's afraid of being punished. The etzem zacht zaton epes was his hepech rotzen Hashem, the very notion that a person should do something that goes against the will of Hashem, was der inyan is mudgish b'miyuchad b'yaseite was his tahira. And this idea that a person is afraid not of the sin, not of the punishment, but of the sin itself, can be seen from a woman that is a Saita and happens to be innocent. Because Allah Vedas Habmanainish, every sin that a person commits will bring a punishment. Ubamela is by Zay Allah Shayakhirifanam Chet Alain Unirasainish. So therefore in every sin it would be possible that a person is afraid of the punishment, or also possible that the person is afraid of the sin itself. But there is, since every sin has a punishment, you never know which way it's going to go. There's both possibilities exist. Mit den Ausnahmen von einer Ische, was ist Tahira? The exception to this rule is a woman who is actually innocent. Und bei ihr ist gewen stira vashka. But she did seclude herself, and she did have to end up drinking the Meisaita. Is nicht nur, was ihr kommt nicht kein Einisch, not only does she not deserve a punishment, nor Adarabe. Sie bekommt das Schar Gadol. If a woman actually goes through the whole process of Saita and she happens to be innocent, so not only is she not punished by the waters of the Saita, it actually acts as a reward. The Nix of an Israel Zara, she will be found innocent and she will have children, blessed children, whatever she had problems before, they'll be fixed now. The Chazal Zogn, Hoysi Yeledes B'tzar Yeledes B'Rebach, as our sages tell us, that if her birth was difficult, she will have an easy birth. Nikavis Yelde Zachar, if she's had only girls, now she'll have a boy, and so on. Von deswegen darf sie bringen a mincha als kapara. Even though she's now found innocent and she's being rewarded, but she has to still bring a korban mincha as an atonement. Why an atonement? She's innocent. The answer is, well, the etzem zach was by iris given stira, the very fact that she secluded herself, which in itself is inappropriate. Afilu v'ndas is nisht in ha'efim v'asur luladim kine abal. Even if she did it in a way that is not actually prohibited, like it doesn't violate the laws of yichud, it was in a way that, I don't know, the door was unlocked or whatever the method is nishkan en oger ruya, but since ultimately it's not an appropriate way to behave, even if it was not done in a way that is outright prohibited, had not the husband warned her, the fact that the husband warned her already makes it that she's not allowed to do it. But in essence, she didn't commit a sin, but she still needs atonement because it's inappropriate. Well, then by ear is dos tira. So therefore, when she had this seclusion, afilu ven zitut im es mitachesh as do dem zolze vakum dem schar v'nizro zera, it's possible that she did it with the cheshbon. She has this calculation that she's having trouble having children. So what does she do? She goes and gets her husband to warn her against secluding herself. She goes and secludes herself. Now he's going to have to give her to drink the water. She is innocent. So the Torah promises her that she'll have children with ease. So that's why she's doing it. Even so, is a simen as if felt yiras chet. But we see that there is lacking a fear of sin. Not a fear of punishment. In her case, there's no fear of punishment because there is no punishment. She's afraid of the sin. She's not afraid of sin. She has no reason to be afraid of punishment because she's not going to be punished. She didn't do it. But she's not afraid of committing a sin. Just the idea of secluding herself is an inappropriate thing. So here we have a situation of a person that is... the issue is being afraid of sin, not being afraid of punishment of sin. Very unique situation. And the far is the siyum gemar from Masechta Seita, and that's why the conclusion of Masechta Seita, v'emekum tzu leisisni yirascheid, the ikano, that's the conclusion that there you shouldn't say that there is no fear of sin, because I am there is still fear of sin.